Please join with me once again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for this time of year when we reflect upon the wonderful gift that you have given to us. And as we come today, as we think about these things, we pray that you would fill our hearts and our minds with hope. We pray again that you will help our focus to remain upon you and upon the promises of your word, so that as we go forth from here today, and even as the Christmas season comes to an end next week, that you would send us out into the world with the hope that you have given us, that others might hear and receive the salvation that you have provided for all mankind. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, most, if not all of us gathered here this morning know about Jesus. We know what the Bible says about him. We know what the church teaches about him, that he's the Savior of the world. We've heard it over and over again since the time we were children. Many of us, we heard it from our parents. We heard it from our Sunday school teachers as we were growing up in the church. And we also heard it from our pastors. We also know the Christmas story. We know why Jesus was born. We know what it was that he came into the world to do. We know that Jesus came into the world as the angel told Joseph to save his people from their sins. We know, as the angel told the shepherds, that in the city of David a Savior was born to them, who is Christ the Lord. We have heard how Jesus said that he came into this world to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we have heard the words of the Apostle John in his first epistle, where he says that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and also for the sins of the whole world. And we know that he accomplished all of this by dying on the cross and then rising from the grave. But is all of this true? Is Jesus really the Savior? And how can we know for sure? After all, even though history testifies to the fact that Jesus existed, even though science and archaeology back up the truth and the teaching of the Word of God, there are so many different ideas out there about who Jesus really is. Some, like the Muslims, believe that he was a great prophet. Some, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they think that Jesus was someone who was created by God, so he is less than God, but he is greater than you and I. Some, like the Buddhists, believe that Jesus was simply an enlightened man, just like Buddha, who serves as a wonderful example for us to follow as we search for direction in life and as we also search for God himself. Some people think of him as nothing more than a magician, a deceiver, maybe even a nutcase. So how do we know that the teaching of Scripture, that the teaching of the church is really true and that all of these other ideas are false? I think at some point in life, at some point in our walk of faith, most of us have asked ourselves this very question. We have times of doubt, or we at least are seeking some type of confirmation for the truth of what we believe. As most of you know, before Jesus began his public ministry, John the Baptist was sent by God to prepare the way for him. He went out and he called the people to repentance. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He also testified about the coming of the Messiah. He told the people about one who would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire, who would separate the wheat from the chaff. And when he saw Jesus, he pointed him out to the people, declaring, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.'" John, as you remember, he also had the privilege of baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River. And you remember what happened when Jesus came up out of the water. We are told that the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. The heavens were opened. And that a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." But even after witnessing this wonderful event, even after doing this work that God had given him to do, even after pointing Jesus out to the people and declaring him to be the Messiah, John experienced some doubts, or he at least wanted some confirmation that all of this was really true. And we hear about this in our gospel lesson this morning in Matthew chapter 11. John had been arrested, we find out, and he was put in prison. And from his cell, he heard about the work of Christ. He heard what Jesus was doing. He then sent his disciples to Jesus asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" This question was asked by one that Jesus refers to in our gospel lesson for this morning as the greatest of those born among women. So it's not surprising that this question, that this thought might enter into our minds as well. Jesus answered these men saying, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And so instead of answering John directly, instead of simply saying yes or no to this question that was brought to him, Jesus pointed to his miraculous work. He pointed to the evidence of who he really is. Now, why would he do this? Well, if we think about it, anybody can say yes or no, can't they? Anybody can make great claims about themselves, whether these claims are true or not. So unless we know someone, claims can do little to convince us of their truth. We need some proof. We need some evidence if we are to believe the truth of the claim. I've shared with you before how when I was in San Diego, a man came to the church and he made a very disturbing claim. I was at lunch. The other pastor was also out of the office. And a man who looked like he was living on the streets came up and knocked on the door. Now, this wasn't very uncommon because our church was in an inner city and people came off the streets all the time. But the secretary was in the church alone, and because she was alone, she was hesitant to open the door. So she asked him through the glass if she could do anything to help him. And the man said to her, "I am Jesus, I have returned." Now, why he did this, we have no way of knowing. Maybe it was some kind of a joke, a prank that somebody dared him to play. Maybe he was out of his mind. Maybe he was on drugs. Maybe he was even under the influence of the evil one himself. But regardless of the reason, something like this is very easy to say. Anyone could make this claim. But how many can back it up? So Jesus, besides just making a claim, he pointed to the evidence that confirmed his claims and that revealed who he truly is. It's just like the episode we read about in Matthew chapter 9. In that passage, we see that some people brought a paralytic to Jesus lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Now, this bothered many of the people who were there. They thought that Jesus was speaking blasphemy because no one can forgive sins except God himself. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And at this, the man did that. He got up, and he went home. Now, Jesus' point is pretty clear. Men cannot forgive sins, and men cannot heal a paralytic. These things are impossible for man, but Jesus is much more than a man. And to prove that he had the power to forgive sins, to prove that he is God himself, Jesus healed this paralytic. The evidence revealed who he was. It revealed the truth of his claims. We see this again in John chapter 4. Many of you remember this time when Jesus was walking through Samaria and he began to talk to this woman at the well. And as he was talking to her, he gave her some pretty incredible evidence of who he was before telling her directly that he is the Christ. He told her things that someone who had just met her would have had no way of knowing. He showed that he had knowledge about her personal life, of which someone who was just passing through town would have been completely ignorant. And this convinced her of the truth of his claim. In fact, when she went back to town to tell the other people about Jesus, she said to them, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And then we are told that many people in that town believed in Jesus because of this woman's testimony. Now, the evidence that Jesus cited in our lesson for this morning in answer to John's question was the restoration of sight to the blind, the restoration of hearing to the deaf, the healing of the lame, the cleansing of lepers, the raising of the dead, and the preaching of good news to the poor. And this evidence revealed who Jesus was in two very important ways. First of all, this evidence took John back to the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. The prophets had foretold that these very things would happen in the day of the Lord, in the day of the Christ. We can see this, for example, in Isaiah 35, starting in verse 5, which says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." We see it in Isaiah 29, in verse 18, where we read, "In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see." And finally, we can see it also in Isaiah 61, verse 1, where we are told, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." So we can see in all of these things that Jesus was doing exactly the things that God had said the Savior would do. And this proved him to be the Savior. It proved him to be the Messiah sent by God into the world. Jesus said something very similar at the beginning of his ministry as he taught the people in a synagogue. In Luke chapter 4, we read how he got up in front of the people and he read for them the passage that I just read for you from Isaiah chapter 61. And then after he had finished, he said to the people, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He was saying to them that the scripture he had just read was being fulfilled before their very eyes in him and also in the things that he was doing. And this evidence confirmed who he was. Just as Jesus also said to the Jews in John chapter 10, starting in verse 37, "If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and that I am in the Father." And not only do we have these, we have countless other prophecies about Jesus from the Old Testament who prove who he is. We see, for example, in Micah 5:2 that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. In that passage we are told, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days." And as we remember in the Christmas story, Jesus, just as it was foretold, was born in Bethlehem. We see in Isaiah 7 that he would be born of a virgin. In verse 14 of that chapter we read, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And again, as we see in the Christmas story, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. We also see in Isaiah 53 that he would suffer and that he would die for our sin. In that chapter we read, "Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. He bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." There are all kinds of Old Testament prophecies that we find fulfilled in Jesus and in no one else. Another way this evidence proves that Jesus is the Savior, that he is the one he claimed to be, is the simple fact that he was doing things that only God himself can do. No one can restore sight to the blind. Only God can do that. No one can make the deaf to hear. Again, only God can do something like this. No one can make the lame to walk. No one can cure disease or raise the dead. Again, only God can do these things. And no one can truly proclaim good news to the poor except Jesus Christ himself. Sure, as some skeptics may point out, doctors today may be able to treat certain diseases. People may be cured of things like cancer by surgery and chemotherapy. They may be helped through illness with medications or with therapy. With certain surgeries, doctors may be able to help some who are unable to hear or who are unable to see. They may be able to help those who, for whatever reason, are unable to walk. But they only do this with the wisdom and the gifts that God has given to them. And only God can do these things with the simple touch of a hand or with the word of his mouth. In Matthew 8, we see how Jesus healed a leper by simply touching him and commanding him to be clean. In that same chapter, we see that Jesus healed the servant of a Roman centurion. Jesus didn't even go to him. He didn't even touch him. He simply said that it would be done, and it was. In Matthew 9, we see that Jesus raised the girl from the dead by simply taking her by the hand. In that same chapter, we see that he healed two blind men by just touching their eyes. Over and over again, we see that Jesus did the impossible. He performed miracles by the touch of his hand or by the word of his mouth. And this shows us that Jesus is just who he claimed to be. He is the one who had been promised by God. And living today, after Jesus died on the cross, we have one other very important piece of evidence. Not only did Jesus heal others, not only did he raise others from the dead, but he himself rose from the dead after lying in the grave for 3 days. He didn't simply die like everybody else and remain in the grave, like people in the cemetery down the street. As Peter said to the people in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing him from the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." So the fact that death could not keep its hold on Jesus proves who he was, and it proves that he is who he claimed to be. It shows that he has power over the forces of sin and death, and because of this, we can know that he has the power to deliver us from these forces as well. So in this season, as we are anticipating Christmas, as we are anticipating our celebration of the birth of Christ, do we really believe what the Bible teaches about him? Can we truly confess that Jesus is the Savior sent by God into the world? Do we truly believe that he came to redeem us and all mankind from the powers of sin and death? We can see that this is the case, not only because of what he claimed about himself, not only because of what others have taught about him throughout the centuries, but because of the evidence. We can see that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. And we can also see that he does the things that no other man can possibly do. And this shows that he is more than a good man. It shows that he is more than a teacher. It shows that he is more than just a great prophet. It shows that he is truly the Son of God. It shows that he is the Savior sent by God into the world to redeem us from our sin. Amen.